Welcome to Warn Radio. Warn Radio. With your hosts, the Watchman Dana Smith and Tower. Thanks for listening.
Greetings in the name of the Lord and welcome to Warn Radio. This is Tower. I'm here with the Watchman and we are glad you joined us. Please send all your prayer requests and correspondence to us through our contact page at warn-usa.com. You can listen to our Warn Radio episodes on warn-usa.com and danaglennsmith.com. Warn Radio is on the following platforms: Amazon Prime Music and Podcast, Spreaker, Blueberry, iHeartRadio, iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Google Play Music, Blog Talk Radio, Podcast Addict, CastBox, Google Podcast, Deezer, Spotify, Anchor, and Pocket Cast. Do not miss the featured posts this week of our in-depth biblical articles and radio shows, featured on both warn-usa.com and danaglennsmith.com. As the mule is in understanding, so is America. A dramatic statement about a nation gone under and a people that has not yet realized it. This is the Righteous Lord, a prophetic psalm. In addition, we have the Righteous Lord, a prophetic psalm warning America. Featured on danaglennsmith.com, Enemies of the Messiah. I am searching the reins and hearts. A seasoned tale of redemption truth. Perilous living, best and worst of times. Featured on warn-usa.com, Prophetic Storm, Persecution, America, Pakistan, Nigeria, and Faith, Classic Warn Radio. Faith Advocacy Gospel News, Classic Warn Radio. Hebrews Son of God, Partakers of Christ, Part 4. Eternal Word Delivers Isaiah's Prophetic Book, Part 105 on Battle Lines. And don't miss these WIBR Warn Radio weekly shows. Wednesday's Advocacy from April 10th. The Gospel's Sake, Peril, Many Gods, Student Terrorists, Death Sentence, Martyrs, Christian Persecution, on Warn Radio. Thursday's Battle Lines from April 11th. Everlasting Redeemer, Isaiah's Prophetic Book 213. And Friday's Sound the Shofar on April 12th. The Word of the Lord, Nations, Spirit, and Life, Part 13. And be sure to get your copy of The Rising. It's a Christian fiction thriller by the Watchman Dana G. Smith, a story of personal survival, the struggle of a nation, and the love of two people set amidst the prophetic landscape of perilous times. Hidden within the storyline of The Rising is the truth of what's happening in America now. Check out The Rising. When He Who Opposes Rises, Believers Overcome by Faith. And you can get your copy on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, Ingram, Walmart, Angus & Robertson. And the Rising ebook can be found on Google Play. You can get your copy of The Rising by, you can also get your copy of The Rising by going to danaglennsmith.com. Visit our Christian Books and Resource Shop, where we feature The Rising and other Christian books, as well as resources from our Vision Media. And now, I welcome in the Watchman.
Thank you. You're listening to Warn Radio on the WIBR Warn Radio Network. Don't forget to visit our websites at warn-usa.com and danaglennsmith.com. And also follow us on Twitter, find us on Instagram, and join us on LinkedIn.
Greetings, Dana. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
We're doing great. I'm glad to be here on this Thursday, April...
18th.
18th. How could I forget that?
April 18th. Yes, sir.
2024.
And we've got blue skies, partly cloudy.
It's cold, though.
Yeah, it's cold, though.
Yeah, we had snow today. Now it's clouds are, well, it's still cloudy, I guess.
It's snowing clouds.
Yes.
So at any rate, we're here. We're in chapter 64. Wow.
Yeah. Okay. Nations Tremble brings us to Isaiah's prophetic book, part 214 on battle lines. In the book of the prophet Isaiah, we have traveled with him during many moments in the lives of Israel, Judah, and the northern tribes, including that of the Assyrians, Persians, and of Babylon. We have witnessed Isaiah's words as they describe the triumph of Jehovah over Assyria at the gates of Jerusalem, while a short time later we witnessed the judgment of Jehovah over Judah for her sins. The following judgment by Jehovah brought Babylon in for destruction of Jerusalem, the temple, and carrying away of the people. Yet they were restored. We now are in a portion of the book as we find the summary of events and appeals for help. Here we begin with the majesty and the power of Jehovah, and things that men simply were not prepared for. And now, back to you.
Okay.
I'll see you on the other side.
Well, you know, verse 1 says, "Oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens, that thou wouldest come down, that the mountains might flow with thy presence." And when we think of the Lord literally appearing, you know, we have a lot of different scriptures that tell us a number of things about what's going to happen. But the only witnesses we have on the earth, well, the real witnesses are with the Lord. But it's the nation of Israel, and Israel is hated by a lot of nations, and they're in the middle of a war. And even though, well, at any rate, a certain Democratic gal who called Israel a liar, that Iran didn't attack and they imagined it all, and so she's anti. Her last name is Waters. So, yeah, would you like to sit your lying butt over there where Israel was and witness what's going on? You know, I can't believe some of these people, but there's a lot of them out there. So suffice it to say, the only ones we have as a real witness, you know, is Moses, who actually, you know, was there face to face with the Lord, and, you know, he was given the commandments, the Ten Commandments. And the whole nation of Israel saw the fire in the mountain. They saw what happened. It scared them to death, and Moses was frightened. So that's the only first-hand experience we have in biblical history and man's history. And the only other evidence we have is when Yahshua came, and he came to this earth as Savior, and he ministered in Jerusalem to the Jews during the Roman Empire. And the Jews didn't believe him. didn't receive him. That is the main mucky muck, you know, Jews and Jewry that is in the temple, you know, and they plotted. And of course, Yahshua had to go to the cross to provide atonement. But, you know, those are the two events. In man's history, those are it. Besides that, we have tons of false gods and false prophets. And so, when we talk about Isaiah, here's a prophet that wrote all these chapters, and we're in chapter 64. And they usually had a scribe. And so when the word of God came to them, they would give it out. I mean, you know, they would just repeat it out and the scribe would write it down. So guess what? This generation, though, might be the one to witness the coming of the Lord. And when he comes again in the clouds with all the saints, whatever generation that is, they will only be the third group of people to witness the presence of the true and living God. Because you have the appearance in Sinai, you have the Lord's appearance when he came again and died on the cross and was resurrected from the dead, and then you have him coming again. Now, of course, you witnessed a lot of stuff by, you know, many prophets, like Elijah, and you witnessed the words of Jeremiah warning. But truly, you know, you don't realize when we're just going through a book that there was a guy somewhere that was being given the word of God and putting it down. He was repeating it to his scribe, and just this book alone, going through it the way we went through it, has taken us a long time. So, Isaiah 64, 1 through 2 describes the presence of the Lord coming down out of heaven. Oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens. And of course, when I rend something, I tear it to pieces. But this one implies a sudden, sublime experience, a heavenly or magnificent that he would come down amidst, and the mountains would flow at his presence. Well, matter of fact, we can read the mountain, read the scripture, and the prophets wax very glowingly about the mountains melting at the presence of the Lord. And the only mountain I ever seen in my whole life, I mean, on the news, is when you have like a volcano. I mean, it's literally flowing. But how would you like to have, and we've got the Rocky Mountains, we've got the Tetons, we've got the Bighorns, you know, driving over to one of those ranges and all of a sudden they've melted. You know, I mean, if you could get him to come here, you could meet him on the top of the Bighorns and he would, you know, the mountains would melt. And so they're going to flow. But this describes the glory. You know, if you're going to have the presence of the Lord coming down out of heaven, and first of all, God's presence, our God and our Father is omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent, and he's all-powerful. So he's everywhere at once. Now, Yahshua, Jesus, came in human form. So he's up in the presence of the Father. But you and I, as Christians, we have the Spirit of the Lord within us. And many of the unbelievers don't understand that God encompasses everything. That's really why you can't lie, because he's always listening. So, that the mountains might flow at thy presence. And we're going to put verse 1 and 2 together. And this one, according to Albert Barnes, when you look in the Hebrew, the language properly is expressive of a purpose to execute wrath on his foes rather than to execute blessings on his people. And when he does come again, when the Lord comes again, he's executing, you know, blessings on his people by removing them. And he is executing judgment on the ones that remain that are his enemies. 64 verse 2, as when the melting fire burneth, the fire causeth the waters to boil, to make thy name known to thine adversaries, that the nations may tremble at thy presence. And it says here, as when the melting fire burneth, that's like burning or kindling dry stubble. What happens? It catches fire immediately. The fire causes the waters to boil. Intense heat, in other words, that's what the reflection is here, would destroy their enemies. So, the presence of the Lord is like, if you were standing in front of him, you'd be instantly, psst, fire. I mean, or you would be, just like when you have water close to a fire, it's going to boil. And it's going to boil all the water out. Then it's going to melt the pan it was in. And then it's going to catch everything on fire. And you're going to burn down the forest. And they're going to come and throw your butt in jail because you wasn't paying attention. But seriously, these two verses describe a God that we need to be paying attention to. And we get in our churches, and this is why a long time ago, you know, I started talking about the churches. You know, the sugar plum church and the fairy tale Jesus. Because we were not taking things serious enough. And even today, we have a lot of different doctrines that are not right. And we're backslidden. And we allow things in the churches that we shouldn't. And right now, you know, it's interesting. Today, I was editing some of my posts. I have posts all the time that I'm republishing and editing. And one of these was from, I had quotes from one of the Circle Ram daughters who helps out in the ministry. And they were quoting scripture. I had a big long article a long time ago. This was posted. And I used some excerpts out of it because the verses indicated that when Israel was on fire for the Lord, Israel had taught their kids all the things that God did for Israel. And so the kids remembered it, and they looked to the Lord God. Then there came a time when there wasn't children in Israel that knew who the Lord God was. They grew up, and they backslid terribly. And, you know, and I interviewed Ari a long time ago, and he was the official president of Moaz Israel, and they've got since new ones, but you know, the thing here is, they took their daughter, and they were going to the, this is when the Institute of the Bible, that one big building that they built in New York, and inside they seen some scriptures in there detailing about it. But the one thing of it is, why did these kids backslide? And these kids slid because the parents, you know, the Israelites, didn't teach their kids about the Lord nor tell them what he did for them to bring them out of the promised land. And so when you really look at it, that was the reason that Israel got in trouble with the Lord, because their adults did not teach the children properly. And when, you know, when I think about that, now that's an article really on our site, it's been there for years, and I quote her. It's part of another big article I wrote. And you look at America, you want to know what's the matter with America for the last 20 years? Our adults not only didn't tell the kids what America, you know, God did to bless America, and they couldn't do that because they weren't saved themselves. We've had generation after generation that never said a word. We got tons, generations of children that are filled with unclean spirits, and they're worshiping doctrines of demons. And the reason they're doing that is because nobody raised their kids the way they should have and told them what Jehovah, Yahshua, had done for this country so they would know. You see, when I was raised and Tower was raised, we were told, we knew what God did for this nation, because it was our generation, our parents, who stood up and fought World War I. My great, you know, my grandfathers, World War II, my dad, the Korean War, another generation of Americans. The Vietnam War was when I was in the service. But when you're not going to remember what the Lord God does, and see, that's the lesson we have here. So this is the presence of the Lord coming down. Most of America wouldn't know what the presence of the Lord is. The presence of the Lord is when you go to church. No, the presence of the Lord is not when you go to church. The church is not the hallowed place. You know why the church seems to be the hallowed place? Is because we forgot what hollow really is, or holy. You see, the Lord didn't say, when two or three churches are gathered together in the midst of you, there am I. He said, when two or three of you, meaning believers, born again by the Spirit, filled with the Spirit, gather in his name, he'll be in the midst. So when you're talking about fire, there's going to be fire someday when the Lord comes by. And he's not going to be very happy with what's been going on, especially in America. And if you lose America, it's because of the adults. It's because that we did not do what we should have done. And here in beginning this in Isaiah 64, Isaiah has spent the whole book. He begins in the very first chapter, and by the time he gets to chapter 3, he's telling them. God tells him to tell the righteous, it shall be well with him, for he will reap the benefits of those things which he sowed, which is righteousness. And he says, tell the wicked, it shall be ill with him, for he shall reap the benefits, you know, I'm paraphrasing a little bit, of his fruits. You can read that in Isaiah 3. Isaiah spent that entire chapter pointing to one thing, getting Israel turned around and telling everybody all the various prophecies that's going to happen. When he gets to chapter 64, the first two verses talks about the presence of the Lord coming down out of heaven. Just think of the worst volcano you've ever seen or heard of in history. Multiply it by infinity, and then you might understand the depths of the Lord's wrath when he comes. But he can also come down as fire when he's coming to the aid of his people. As when a melting fire burneth, like burning up dry stubble, as the fire causes the waters to boil, intense heat that will destroy the enemy, to make thy name known to thine adversaries, that the nations may tremble at thy presence. They do not tremble at the presence of Jehovah. They do not tremble at the name of Jesus Christ. But they will. Because our God and our Father gave everything into the hands of the Son of God. Now you see, the thing of it is that when Israel was taken, Judah was taken captive by Babylon, what happened? The temple was burned up. And we're not going to get to that part yet, but that's in verse 11. The city was desolate, the land was laid waste, and Judah carried away captive to a distant land. Now you see, Isaiah gave this entire prophecy. And Judah had not been in the timeline carried away yet. Because Jeremiah was to come. But Jeremiah was in Jerusalem at the time that Jerusalem fell. But some of the scriptures I have here, just to look at concerning what they're talking about, it helps you to picture. Psalms 18, 7 through 9. Then the earth shook and trembled. The foundations also of the hills moved and were shaken because he was wroth. There went up smoke out of his nostrils and fire out of his mouth devoured. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also and came down and darkness was under his feet. Psalm 144, 5 through 8. This is a psalm of David. Bow thy heavens, O Lord, and come down. Touch the mountain and they shall smoke. Cast forth lightning and scatter them. Shoot out thine arrows and destroy them. Send thy hand from above. Rid me, deliver me out of the great waters from the hand of strange children, whose mouth speaketh vanity and their right hand is a right hand of falsehood. Now David knew about enemies, and this is who he's talking about. Judges 5, 2 through 5. Praise ye the Lord for the avenging of Israel, when the people willingly offered themselves. Hear, O ye kings, give ear, O ye princes. I will sing unto the Lord. I will sing praise to the Lord God of Israel. Lord, when thou wentest out of Seir, when thou marched out of the field of Edom, the earth trembled and the heavens dropped, the clouds also dropped water. The mountains melted from before the Lord, even that Sinai from before the Lord God. Now you see, that's describing what happened on Sinai. because of the rumblings and the fire and the smoke. The smoke and the fire literally made it look like part of Sinai wasn't even there. And it was loud. And Micah 2 through 4. Hear, all ye people, hearken, O earth, all that therein is, and let the Lord God be witness against you, the Lord from his holy temple. For behold, the Lord cometh forth out of his place, and will come down and tread upon the high places of the earth. Now, when you talk about high places, that also emphasizes pride. Because when we talk about pride, people, you know, when you see someone with pride, when you're illustrating it, you're illustrating it with their nose in the air. They don't want to hear, you know, just defiance. And the mountain shall be molten under him, and the valley shall be cleft as wax before the fire, as the waters that are poured down a steep place. Now you see, the thing of it is, man can't do much of anything about the mountains and about the world. But see, we have atomic bombs now that if we all blew them up at the same time, you would virtually destroy people living on Earth. But see, when God comes down, like the Lord Jesus, when he came here, he wasn't full of wrath, he is full of forgiveness. And the only time he got wrathful is when he cleaned out the temple from the money changers. Now, in Revelation 11, this is the prophets that are dead. And after 3 days and a half, the Spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them. Now see, these are the prophets that the beast finally does overcome, and they lay in the street for 3.5 days. And that symbolizes the same amount of time that the Lord was in the earth and he was resurrected from the dead. But this is showing the power of God over the power of the Antichrist, over the power of the earth. And the Spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, come up hither. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. In that same hour there was a great earthquake, and a tenth part of the city fell. And in the earthquake were slain of men 7,000, and the remnant were affrighted and gave glory to the God of heaven. I find this interesting, this miracle, because I think of the Lord raising Lazarus from the dead. The Lord went to the tomb and said, remove the stone. And I think it was Mary ran up and said, Lord, by this time they stinketh. They've been in there 4 days. Well, you know, they could have been stinking. But, you know, he had told them, you're going to see the power of God, the miracle of God. And I'm going to raise up a stinking dead Lazarus that absolutely has no life in him. And in 1 millisecond, I'm going to make him perfect again. Now, I defy you to beat that. And guess what? Lazarus was healed totally. And he wandered around. And the Jews were so mad, they wanted to get rid of Jesus and Lazarus. You know, you didn't have to worry about any other enemies, because the Jews were plenty enemies themselves, especially those of the temple. You know, they went up and said, what are we going to do? He raised him from the dead. And they plotted to kill Lazarus too. I mean, you know, that's one thing, getting killed. You know, you died, and then all of a sudden, you're facing death again simply because the Lord came over and raised you from the dead. I mean, talk about, you know, you could look at that and say, boy, that's bad luck. That ain't bad luck, that's wickedness. But see, the power of God kept him. They didn't do it, did they? No. And that's what we're talking about in the beginning of this. When we talk about the glory coming down, we talk about all this. There is a God in heaven that interrupted the affairs of Israel throughout their entire life. And the other day, before this war started, everybody was talking about how bad Iran's going to take them down and all this other stuff. You know, you don't have to worry about Israel. You better worry about America, because we're not right. The Lord is known by the judgment which he executeth. The wicked is snared in the work of his own hands. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. For the needy shall not always be forgotten. The expectation of the poor shall not perish forever. See, because nobody cares. Arise, O Lord, let not man prevail. Let the heathen be judged in thy sight. Put them in fear, O Lord, that the nations may know themselves to be but men. Now that is the real prayer here, and that's in Psalm 9, verse 20. Put them in fear, that they will know that you're men, you're not gods. And those things that you think are gods are demons. But there is a true and living God, and he's going to come down, and he's going to come in fire and wrath. He's not coming to die on the cross. He's not coming to bake you or give you Aunt Martha's cookies to make you feel good. He's coming down in wrath, and if you haven't been made right, if you haven't repented, you're going to wish that you had. Because down here, we have everybody online especially that think they're experts. We have people down here, you know, that, oh, that they're this and that, and they've got all their little names picked out. We fight over politics. And, you know, Tower, today I heard a quote, simply because I was going through posting some of our shows today. And Mari Emanuel was preaching. There was a little clip. It was already going when I went down. And he said, we're, you know, speaking of the overall church and everybody, you know, in the nations of men, he said, everybody's so busy fighting each other. The devil can just take people at will and do whatever he wants to with them. He says they're all blinded. They haven't gathered together. They just pick and fight and harass each other all the time. And if you watch TikTok or G-Talk, you know, one thing they like to do is take videos of people beating us up. There's actually a club on TikTok where they look for fights so they can record it and put it on TikTok. See, that's all well and good. Like Paul said, you know, if you bite and devour each other, be careful that you're not devoured in the process. And see, these first two verses are getting you in the mind frame that God is not going to put up with nonsense, and neither is the Lord Jesus. You know, we have these people think he's running around, you know, he's got a robe on, and he's always washed, his hair is perfect, he never has to sweat, he never has any problems, he's Lord of Lords, and he went to the cross, and so that's fine, and you go off. He was raised from the dead, oh yeah, we believe that, while you go serve other things. You don't fear God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Now, in Isaiah 64:3, and this one has this verse, I actually put the Lord on Exodus, but the Lord on Sinai. 64:3, when thou didst terrible things, which we looked not for. You know, the children of Israel wasn't looking for this. And he says after that, thou camest down and the mountains flowed at thy presence. See, and the reason they say that is they were a group, they were tired, they had gotten there, they knew Moses had to go up, that was fine with them, they were just going to stay there and relax. And so as Moses was standing there, the Lord descended on the mount. And it looks like the whole mount was devoured in fire and smoke. And you couldn't see nothing. I mean, we're talking about Sinai here. And they were so afraid. They said, do not talk to us. Do not allow him to talk to us. You go up and talk to him. You know, it's amusing to me because it's like, you go talk to him. You know? It reminds me of the little commercial with Mikey and the cereals. You know, you eat it. And so little Mikey tries it and he likes it. So he's eating and they're standing there. Look, he likes it. See, this is what the children of Israel were. They're sitting over there watching that. And they said, well, hell, you know, let's send Moses. He's the prophet. And so, you know, when was the last time Americans saw that? I don't know. Never. We've had tremendous services. We've had fantastic revivals. We've had great preachers. And this nation has been warned even before the 50s, it was warned. It was warned in the early portion of this country, time and time again. Great revivals of people that said, we want the Lord, we don't want this, we want to walk in a righteous manner. But today, nobody's walking in a righteous manner. We are terrible. And so the children of Israel, when they got to the mount and they started seeing all that, they lost their cookies. They said, Moses, you got to go up and talk to him. We do not want to be in his presence. You know, because he's scared the living daylights out of them. You could have said he scared the hell out of them, but he didn't. Because later on, these people didn't even want to go into the promised land. Now, Caleb and Joshua wanted to, but the other 10 spies wouldn't do it because they were full of unbelief. That's why the children of Israel had to run around for another 40 years until that one generation died. And you wonder why God doesn't do something in America. Well, he needs to find people willing to do something. First thing is believe. Second thing is repent. The third thing is follow him. Okay, take up your cross, fill it with money, buy your big house, do everything, and in your spare time, you can talk to me. But see, care, you know, God doesn't care if you live in a house. He doesn't care. But see, there's a lot of people that we report on that they have their houses, but they're different than ours. But the enemy comes and burns them out and kills the pastor and rapes the women, steals them, kills the kids if they can. That's life. Now we have in America your borders totally open. And your enemy is, you know, you're so in trouble in this country. And all we can do is think of the election. You know, because of Joe Biden, we don't even have an army left. And all the equipment we had, he gave it to the Taliban. He left it for the Taliban, who was selling it to ISIS and others. But yet he won't take credit for that, and he won't admit it, neither will the Democrats. They expect you to trust them. The Democrats can do nothing. They're politicians. So what I'm telling you is, when you trust in man, you know, I was told by a Jewish prophet one time, you know, he was going overseas, and usually signs and miracles followed when he went over there. But he was supposed to fast for 30 days. And he had people with him that were in the church that were supposed to fast. He was on a flight. He was halfway over. And the Lord spoke to him and said, your people let you down. They didn't fast. He said, you're going to have to fast the whole time you're over there. He couldn't eat nothing. And when he got in there, they wanted to feed him because he was from the United States. He says, I can't. And the angel of the Lord told him, you can't trust in man. He will always let you down. Of course, we haven't learned that. Why do you think Jesus came? Because there was no man that was sinless that could become the Passover lamb to redeem mankind. It had to be done by the Son of God. What I'm telling you is, we are all sinners. Irreparably sinners. It is innate. It's in us. Sin. And because that sin is in us, you're a sinner. You're not a sinner because you go out and sin. You're already a sinner. That causes you to sin. The children of Israel were the same way. God knew who they were. But he had set them up with the atonement, the Passover, the Day of Atonement, Passover, and a lot of other ways to make the atonement for the sin so he could still deal with Israel. So today, you've got so much going for you, America and the world. And all you want to do is bite and devour and hate. And when we go through this fire and smoke, you'd better understand something. This is not just to scare you, which it's not. It's to wake you up and understand this thing is coming to a close. That means the day and the hour are close. Now in 17 through 20 of Exodus 19, and Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the nether part of the mount. Mount Sinai was altogether on smoke because the Lord had descended upon it in fire. That's why it looked like the mountain was on fire. And the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mount quaked greatly. They'd never seen that happen. And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder, now that's the trump of God. Moses spake, and God answered him by a voice. And the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai on the top of the mountain, and the Lord called Moses up to the top of the mount, and Moses went up. No, the children of Israel went up, of course. But there's a lot more to that little section in there. 2 Samuel 7, this is what Samuel says, 22 and 23. Wherefore thou art great, O Lord God, for there is none like thee, neither is there any God beside thee, according to all that we have heard with our ears. And what one nation in the earth is like thy people, even like Israel, whom God went to redeem for a people to himself, and to make him a name, and to do for you great things and terrible, for thy land before thy people, which thou redeemed to thee from Egypt, from the nations and their gods. Now, whether you like it or not, Iran was not one of those nations. There's only one people that beheld the true and living God by themselves in one group out in the middle of nowhere, and God came down upon the mountain in fire, and the whole mountain was full of smoke. And that's why Moses himself even was trembling in that particular episode that they write about. And see, we sit here and we do more fighting and we're lawless. And now they're blaming everything on white people, and they have for a long time. You know, it's the whites, they ruined America. No, it's called sin and pride. I mean, you can blame all the whites you want to, because in the end, God will tell you. It's not the whites. Cain slew Abel, and it was Abel's fault. No, it wasn't. God warned him ahead of time, but he didn't listen. And he went and slew his brother. And at this point, may God have mercy on your souls for not listening. Now let me look. We only have a short while. Because we're at Isaiah 64 and 4. And that's, I think, where we'll leave off. We're setting up this whole thing, is what Isaiah's doing. And we're going to get in the rest of this. The very next verse is this, and then we'll go through it next time. For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard, nor perceived by the ear, neither has the eye seen, O God, beside thee, what he has prepared for him that waits for him. And Israel was right in the middle of that. And yes, they had trouble. But they are still Israel. It certainly wasn't the Gentiles. But you'll find some of this in the New Testament. What God has prepared for those who waits for him, who serves him, who obeys him. Father, we thank you for your word. Bless those that hear this word whenever they do. Help them to self-examine where they're at. Help them, Lord, to repent, to seek your face, and understand that you're there to redeem them and to help them. There is no other God beside thee, O Lord, and there is no other Savior besides Yahshua, Jesus Christ, our Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. bless this word to their hearts whenever they hear it, and their souls and spirits. And may God have mercy on your souls and wake you up. Now, Tower, we have little under 5 minutes, so there's no hurry. But one day we will be through with this.
Yes. This summer we'll be done with Isaiah, but that would be quite shocking to, you know, the mountains trembling and God talking, and that would be frightening. Not many people could do that, and they didn't. Moses did.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really funny when you look at it. That.
Yeah.
People just don't realize, you know, people think that they can handle anything.
Well, there's, people are too caught up in this world and looking at the signs of the end times.
Now,
instead of looking to the Lord.
Yeah. Now, next week, we'll give you the New Testament verse of Isaiah 64:4, because Paul addressed this in 1 Corinthians. So go ahead, Tower.
Hey, well, thank you, everybody, for joining us whenever you do. We so appreciate each and every one of you and love you. We love hearing from you. We always hope the best for you in Christ Jesus. Look to Him in all your needs. He will make a way. Stay safe. Be careful. We love you, and may God richly bless you for all you do for Him. Good night, everybody.
Don't forget to go to our websites at warn-usa.com, danaglynnsmith.com. Listen to the shows. You can listen to the shows on both sites, but our main place is over on warn-usa.com, where we have full accompanying articles to every show, and you can find out a little bit more about it, and you can download a show. We don't charge for this, folks. This is just the way it is, and so check everything out on warn-usa.com and go to danaglynnsmith.com. That's our site for the Watchman Institute for Biblical Research. You'll find long, in-depth articles there, and you also find long, in-depth articles over on warn-usa.com. This is an end-time ministry, and we've been doing this for over 25 years. And we've been warning a very, very, very long time. And we knew about this long before we began warning. So none of this is surprising. So look to your family, take care of them, draw nigh to the Lord. He will draw nigh to you. Until next week, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May His face shine upon you and give you peace. Shalom.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Warn Radio.